Thank you so much for reading those words for us. Do keep your Bibles open on page 694. And if you take up your order of service, you can see just on the inside right-hand page, there's an outline. Why don't I lead us in a short prayer as we come together to look at God's word this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this reading from the Bible that we've heard. We thank you for this man, Isaiah, who thousands of years ago you used to bring this message into the world. We pray that as we engage this morning with words, ancient words, that you would help us understand their meaning for this world, that you'd help us understand their relevance for our lives, that what is ancient might be contemporary, what is distant in time would feel the light that we need so that we can live well in this world. And we ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to take as my theme this morning, peace, because it seems to me that is something that is in precious short supply in our world at the moment. A week ago today, the Coptic Christian Cathedral in Cairo was bombed, killing 23, seriously injuring a further 49. All week, this week, and for many weeks before, indeed many months and years before, we've been watching, shocked at the devastation and suffering taking place in Aleppo. The plight of the people of Aleppo has been unimaginably terrible, described by the UN this week as the meltdown of humanity. I want us to listen to a clip from the BBC website that was broadcast earlier this week that captures that sense of desperation and plight.
I still envisage Aleppo. Please, please help us to get out Aleppo by safe corridor. Me and my family and my neighbor. We are terrified. Please help us.
Well, mercifully, the ceasefire that was brokered early in the week, although it's faltered, it's still holding. The evacuation that began was stalled on Friday. Looks as if it may resume again today, with thousands still trapped in the city and, as we heard, desperate to leave. And yet here we are in the run-up to Christmas again, when again we recite the words of the angels to the shepherds that proclaimed the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem would bring glory to God in heaven, yes, and on earth, peace to all men. This evening, if you're here for our carol service, we'll again listen to this morning's reading from Isaiah. It's a vision of a transformed world that we proclaim every Christmas. Have a look with me at verse 2, where our reading began. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Isaiah speaks of a world where darkness has turned to light. And then in verse 3, he speaks of a world where fear has turned to joy. In verse 4, of a world where slavery has turned to freedom. And in verse 5, a world where war has turned to peace. And all of that coming about through the birth of a child, a son being given. Among other things, a son who is specifically called the Prince of Peace. There is Isaiah's vision of a world transformed by the birth of Jesus Christ. And we'll hear that again this evening at our carol service, and then again in the very same service, We'll turn in our prayers to pray for all the troubled parts of the world, where there is war and fear and slavery and darkness. And we'll do that without missing a beat. At Christmas, we seem to say contradictory things about the world that we live in. We believe the things about the world that aren't true. And of course, that is why lots of people out there don't want to come in here. Not just at Christmas, but ever. Because they hear those Christmas readings from the Bible, and then they look around at the world that they live in, or perhaps their own experience of fear and darkness and a lack of freedom in their own lives. And it doesn't add up in their lives or in the world that we live in. Richard Dawkins, the well-known atheist writer, wrote these words about Christians. Faith is the great cop-out, the great excuse to evade the need to think and evaluate the evidence. Faith is the belief in spite, perhaps because of the lack of evidence. Either Jesus' birth did bring peace and goodwill to all, or it didn't. Either a light has shone on people walking in darkness, or it hasn't. We can't have it both ways and ask to be taken seriously. We can't celebrate that Jesus' birth really made a difference to this world every Christmas and then spend the rest of the year dealing with and praying for the reality that it hasn't. And that's why this morning, at this lead up to Christmas, I want us to take a more critical, a more careful look at what we sometimes so glibly, so easily declare each year. To ask the question, has the child that was born to us, the son that has been given to us, changed the world or not? Has he brought light and joy and freedom and peace to our world, or hasn't he? If he has, why can't we see it in Cairo, in Aleppo? And if he hasn't, then why do we celebrate his birth each Christmas as if he has? Let me say to anyone here this morning who's ever been confused by these claims that are made for the birth of Jesus Christ, or felt an uncomfortable disconnect between what we read in the Bible and what we sing in our carols at Christmas and the messed up world that we live in, the problem might be that we're looking in the wrong place. If we're looking in the world at large for the very real and transforming change that Jesus Christ does indeed bring about, not just through his birth, but through his life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, then it might be that we're looking in completely the wrong place. Light in place of darkness, joy instead of fear, freedom where there was slavery, peace where there was war, is not something you see in the world out there, the world at large. But it is something that you see when you look in the right place, when you look in here, at the church, that is the people, not the building. Because according to verse 2 of Isaiah chapter 9, to stop walking in darkness, you have to see the light, to coin a phrase. Verse 3, for your fear to turn to joy, you have to rejoice at the birth of a Savior. Verse 4, for your slavery to turn to freedom, you must have your yoke, your burden removed by him. The things that you have that have enslaved you, shattered and destroyed by him. Verse 5, to experience the peace and not war, your war with him has to come to a decisive and permanent end. This great vision that Isaiah has for a transformed world through the birth of a child never was for the world out there, the world at large. But it was for the world in here, created by, brought into existence this child who was born. Through his birth and his life and his death and his resurrection and his ascension, Jesus Christ has created another world, a world within a world, which we call the church. It is in this world within a world that everything that Isaiah prophesied about can be seen, is real. It is in the church that everything has been transformed by Jesus Christ. In the lives of Christians, you see light shining in darkness. Fear turned to joy. Slavery to sin replaced with freedom to live. A yoke that was too heavy to bear, trying to be good enough for God, being replaced by Christ's yoke that he says is light. His burden is easy. It's in the church, in the lives of Christians, we have peace with God. Our war with him has come to an end by his declaration of peace. And so we enjoy peace with each other. You can't see any of that in the world out there, because that would be to look in entirely the wrong place. It would be to look at a world still in darkness, a world still gripped by fear, a world enslaved to sin and to death, a world that is still at war with God, and a world that is therefore experiencing none of the blessings or benefits of Christmas. Aleppo this week has been an extreme example of that sort of world. But actually, all of this world is like that all of the time, to a greater or lesser extent. Actually, if you look more carefully at what the angels did say to the shepherds, there's a clue there. It was there all along. It's more than a clue. It's really obvious where we should look for these sorts of changes. The angel said to the shepherds, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." See, it turns out the angels, like Isaiah, never promised universal, indiscriminate world peace following the birth of Jesus Christ. That peace would come only, they said, to those on whom God's favor rests. That is, only to those who actually put their trust in this Savior. We might have got confused about what exactly was being promised that first Christmas, but the angels weren't. And neither is the rest of the New Testament if you read on. Have a look at how the Apostle Paul describes where to look for the benefits and blessings of Christmas. He says this. His, that is, God's intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers, authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. He goes on, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." God's intention now is that everything he accomplished in Christ Jesus, according to his eternal purpose, can be seen now in the church. Not in the world out there, but in the world in here. It's here where God is doing immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. His power at work within us. If you want to see the sort of world that the prophet Isaiah promised, that the angels proclaimed, then don't look for it in the wrong place. Look in the right one. Look here in the church. If that's you already, if you are a Christian, you belong to the church, then do you see the encouragement of Christmas for us? That the promises that we proclaim each year, this vision of a new world, is not make-believe or a fairy tale that we know isn't true but wish was. It is being fulfilled in us and through us now. What the angels sang, what Isaiah prophesied, is happening now. Not just at Christmas, but throughout the year, right here, in our lives. That's the encouragement of Christmas. The challenge, of course, of Christmas is that those changes that Isaiah promised can actually be seen among us. That this really is a place where darkness has turned to light, where fear has turned to joy, where slavery has been replaced with freedom, war with peace between us. If someone was to look in here at us, could they see what Isaiah said they should be able to see? Or does this world within a world look very much like the rest of the world out there? The encouragement of Christmas, the challenge of Christmas for Christians. But then, if you're here this morning, and perhaps you wouldn't call yourself a Christian, do you see the invitation of Christmas? All the changes that the birth, the life, the death, the resurrection, the ascension of Jesus brought about are real, are true, and are available to you here in church. You just need to look for them in the right place. If that is you, I would love to talk to you further to suggest some ways that you might go about doing that, making those discoveries for yourself. Let me close for now with a story. It's the story of Jesus' return to heaven after his birth and life and death and resurrection. He returned to heaven. The angels met him at the gates of heaven and they said to him, "So what is your plan to transform the world now that you're back here in heaven? Your plan to make that light shine in the darkness, to turn fear to joy, slavery to freedom, war to peace. Jesus, how's all that going to happen now you're back here?" Jesus didn't say anything. He just pointed down to the now 11 disciples on earth. "That's it," the angels said. "They are your plan for the world?" And Jesus said, "Yes, that's it." The church is Jesus' plan for the world, God's eternal purpose for the world. It's the place where Jesus is making all of these changes real and true and available. The church is the hope of the world, such that peace in Aleppo, peace in Cairo, would now be real and true if the people of those cities belonged to this world within a world. If you're looking for all those changes that the birth, the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus brought about, then here is where you will find them. And that is what we have to share with the world at Christmas. That is the good news of Christmas. The changes are real. They're happening now. They can be found by anyone who looks in the right place. Well, why don't we take a few minutes of quiet to reflect on that? And then Zoe is going to come and lead us as we pray together. But first, a few moments of quiet.